Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. And that also means really understanding who the true God actually is and what He is doing. And how He is doing, and how He gives prophecies, and then makes sure that they are fulfilled. And they're written down so that we have a record, because we as human beings need to have proof of what God has said and to check it out to see if it's really so.
Ancient copies of the prophet, dated 100 years or more before the Christian era, were discovered at the lowest spot on earth, near the Dead Sea.
So the Dead Sea Scrolls are ancient Jewish manuscripts discovered between 47 and 56 in 11 caves in the area of Qumran. Qumran is located on the northwestern shore of the Dead Sea, 25-30 kilometers east from Jerusalem.
This was one of the greatest and most important discoveries of antiquities ever made.
Here, the air is bone dry, perfect for preserving and hiding the manuscripts of the Dead Sea Scrolls. Many scholars identify what remains of the Qumran community with a Jewish sect called the Essenes. Seeing the priesthood and temple worship of Jerusalem as being corrupted, the Essenes broke from mainstream Judaism and retreated here to seek the Lord in the wilderness.
And of the book of Isaiah, we have 21 copies. Isaiah is the most popular prophet among the Dead Sea Scrolls. He's the oft-quoted prophet in all the scrolls. And it's a fact that out of the 220 biblical copies in Qumran, the only full copy is the great Isaiah scroll discovered in Cave 1 in 47. So it's very obvious that must be a reason, because Isaiah is a key prophet in Qumran.
The Essenes carefully copied biblical texts and community documents. Their desert library reflected the belief that they were living in the times of Israel's long-awaited Messiah.
Now we have this new booklet, The Prophecies of Christ in the Old Testament. 356 scriptures prophesying about Christ and His ministry, and what He did, and how He did it, down to the even details of what He said when He was dying on the cross as the sacrifice for the sins of human beings. Did you know that that was there? Well, you can write for that booklet. That will be an eye-opener to you, and that will show you why we need the Old Testament and the New Testament. Now, concerning prophecy, let's look at the power of God. We continue from the last segment. So let's come to the book of Isaiah, chapter 40. Let's see how God tells us we need to view Him and what's going on this earth, and how that human beings, apart from God, really are less than nothing. But when they are connected with God, they are destined to be the sons and daughters of God. So we'll look at the power of God. Let's begin in verse 12. Now, this is a message to all the evolutionists and those who don't believe in God. Verse 12. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of His hand and meted out the heavens with a span? Now think about that. You look at all those pictures of the universe out there with the stars and with the galaxies, and look at our solar system with the planets and everything that are there. and God has made it. He's created it. Every little single detail and atom and molecule of what is there. God made it. Continuing, and who has comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? God did. That's an amazing thing. Think about this the next time you watch one of these awesome pictures of the tops of mountains that rise up like razor blades. And look at how God has made them. Can any man come close to any structure that can be compared to that? Of course not. Verse 13, for those who think they are so smart, for those who think that they have great brains and great intellect, try this on for science. Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or who was his counselor that he might instruct him? With whom did he take counsel, or who instructed him and taught him in the paths of judgment and taught him knowledge and made known the way of understanding to him? Where is it? Where is the man? Where is the council? Where is the community? Doesn't exist. God is so fantastic and powerful, and everything about God. He's also loving and kind. He's also judge and avenger. All of those things are the attributes of God. Now notice how he views all the nations on the earth. And there are some nations that think they're great and powerful and have all of these armies and weapons and all of these things and have buildings and lands and everything that human beings have made. And they think, oh, this is so great. And think about the technology we have with smartphones and artificial intelligence, that you can tell your artificial intelligence when you're driving home in your car, turn on the heat, yes, set the oven, let dinner start, and we'll be there in 10 minutes. And it's all done. Well, think about how God created. Think about when he said, let there be light, and there was light. And let the waters be separated from the land. Let there be land, and let there be oceans. And then he created all of the vegetation. He set the sun and moon in their proper relationship with the earth for correct time. Then he made all of the mammals. Then he made all the creeping things. And then he created mankind after his image and after his likeness, male and female, for the great purpose that he had before the ages of time. Now this is who we're dealing with when we're talking about prophecy, when we're talking about power, when we're talking about understanding. Verse 17, all nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted by him as less than nothing in vanity. So then here's the declaration. Since God is almighty and God is all powerful and God is all knowledgeable, here's the challenge to all you idol makers. To whom will you compare God, or to what likeness will you compare to him? You're going to make a statue? You're going to make an image? And then bow down to it. Let's see what he says here. Verse 19, the workman melts a graven image, the goldsmith spreads it over with gold and casts silver chains. He who is too poor for that offering chooses a tree that will not rot. That's called a totem pole. He seeks a skillful workman for himself to prepare a graven image that will not totter. So God says, you look at this, then he challenges you. Will you accept the challenge? Will you prove that God exists? So he says, have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundation of the earth? That is everything that God has created. Marvelous and fantastic indeed. Verse 22, that it is he who sits upon the circle of the earth. They knew the earth was round.
In the mid-20th century, we began launching satellites into space that would help us determine the exact circumference of the Earth, 40,030 kilometers. But over 2,000 years earlier in ancient Greece, a man arrived at nearly that exact same figure by putting a stick in the ground. That man was Eratosthenes, a Greek mathematician and the head of the Library of Alexandria. Eratosthenes had heard that in Syene, a city to the south of Alexandria, no vertical shadows were cast at noon on the summer solstice. The sun was directly overhead. He wondered if this were also true in Alexandria, so on June 21st, he planted a stick vertically in the ground and waited to see if a shadow would be cast at noon. It turns out there was one, and it measured about 7 degrees. Now, if the sun's rays are coming in at the same angle at the same time of day, and a stick in Alexandria is casting a shadow while a stick in Syene is not, it must mean that the Earth's surface is curved. And Eratosthenes probably already knew that. The idea of a spherical Earth was floated by Pythagoras around 500 BC and validated by Aristotle a couple centuries later. If the Earth really was a sphere, Eratosthenes could use his observations to estimate the circumference of the entire planet. Since the difference in shadow length is 7 degrees between Alexandria and Syene, that means the two cities are 7 degrees apart on Earth's 360-degree surface. Eratosthenes hired a man to pace the distance between the two cities, and learned they were 5,000 stadia apart, which is about 800 kilometers. He could then use simple proportions to find the Earth's circumference. 7.2 degrees is 1/50th of 360 degrees, so 800 kilometers times 50 equals 40,000 kilometers. And just like that, a man 2,200 years ago found the circumference of the entire planet with just a stick and his brain.
And its people are like grasshoppers. Compared to God, compared to his power, compared to his purpose, compared to what he's doing. It is he who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. Just think of the awesome things in the universe. You look at some of those deep and tremendous pictures that they're able to take with the cameras that they have now in space. And you know, I'm sure God gave that technology for the very purpose of revealing it to all of us as human beings, the glory of God and the power of God. And think about the purpose that God has. That's why you need our book, From a Speck of Dust to a Son of God, Why Were You Born? You have a purpose of God. You were created in his likeness, and he has a plan for you. And all those who will love God and obey him, will you choose that? Think about that as we read these verses here. Verse 23, who brings the rulers to nothing, and he makes the judges of the earth as vanity. Yes, and there are examples of that in the Bible. One great example is King Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, who thought that he was so great. So what did God do? He struck him down, made him insane for 7 years, and he ate grass like cattle. Afterwards, God had mercy, gave him back his kingdom and his sanity, and then he glorified God. So if you don't believe that, read Daniel, the 4th chapter, because that was written by Nebuchadnezzar himself as a witness The beginning with the head of gold of the Babylonian system of this world, as it is called. That you cannot defy God. Come down here to verse 25. To whom then will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who has created these things, who brings out their host by number. Now notice how great God is. Not only does he number them, but he calls them all by names by the greatness of his might. For he is strong in power, not one fails. He challenges human beings using Jacob, because Jacob was the father of the 12 tribes of Israel, and this was the nation that God used in ancient times. So he says to Jacob and Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my cause is disregarded by my God. No, God knows it all. Everything that there is. Have you not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not grow weak or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom? He gives power to the weary, and to him with no might, he increases strength. Even the young faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength and shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And that's a prophecy of the coming resurrection. Now let's come to the book of Daniel. Daniel 10 and verse 21. Now here's an angel talking to Daniel. And I want you to understand this. We have the written word that is here. But I want you to understand there is also the written word in another place. Let's read it. I will show you that which is written in the scripture of truth. Those are the scrolls of truth, the actual originals of God in heaven above. So everything we're reading here came from heaven, and it's written down. Think of that, the scripture of truth. In heaven, everything that's in the Bible. Now, let's look at some of the prophecies. Let's turn the page to Daniel 12. So let's bring this up to date as to where we are today, because we are living in biblical and prophetic times, and the things that are taking place in this world have been spoken of long before they ever occurred. Now here, in Daniel 12, it talks about the time Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands for the children of your people. That is in the end times. Now notice what it says. And there shall be a time of trouble. Talking about the end times. Do we have trouble today? Hey, watch your nightly news. It's everywhere. Such as never was since there was a nation, even until that time. Now think about that. And think about how we have all of this instant communication. And think about how they're sending all the satellites for close-in Wi-Fi for everyone in the world. Now, who do you suppose is causing that to be done? God is, using men and companies and equipment and technology given to them for the very purpose of revealing how prophecies are being fulfilled today, and they can see it happening right in their smartphone, right in their television at home. Now, that's an amazing thing to contemplate. Now, let's read on. Come down here to verse 4. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book. Now, that's talking about the book of Daniel right here. Even to the time of the end. Now, we are living in the end times, and there is absolutely no doubt about that. And Jesus Christ is going to return. But we don't know the exact timetable because that is in God's hands. But we have certain things that we can look to that when they happen, we will know that it is at the door. But for the present time, it's not yet at the door. Now, continuing right here in verse 4, Daniel 12. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Think of that. Think about all the planes and trains and cars and buses, all of the freight, all of the things that is going on. Look at what it is with the coronavirus today. It could become a pandemic worldwide because of going to and fro and many people carrying it, and they don't even know that they have it. And that's such a potential disaster, and we will see that Jesus prophesied of that very thing. Daniel wanted to know what's going to happen at the end. Now, verse 8. And I heard, but I did not understand. Then I said, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? How's it going to happen? Notice the angel told him, Go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. Now that's quite a thing, isn't it? And we will see, yes, we are in the end times. Now, how long is the end times? Maybe a very protracted period of time. And we have been in the end times for quite a while. Have there been many going to and fro around the world and everywhere? Yes, for years and years and decades, correct? And how about with knowledge being increased? They say that they're learning things so fast that it used to be every 6 months, you have to replace the knowledge that you had before because we've learned so much. Now it's getting down to 2 months. And it's getting down, as we mentioned, to artificial intelligence. Continuing in verse 10. Many shall be purified and made white and refined. That's talking about those who come through the church after Christ came. But the wicked shall do wickedly. I want you to stop and think. Are the wicked doing wickedly today? In every endeavor of mankind, in religion, in government, in education, in daily life, the wicked shall do wickedly. And none of the wicked shall understand. Now why? Because they reject the true God and they follow the God of this world, Satan the devil, who blinds their minds and they cannot understand. But notice the next sentence. Here's a promise. But the wise shall understand. Who are the wise? The wise ones are those who keep the commandments of God and love Him and do His will. Let's stop and think. Are you the wise? Or are you the wicked? What category do you fit into? Psalm 111 and verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Do you fear God? Do you love God? Do you believe God? Are you willing to obey Him? You think He's given His commandments in vain? The most absurd thing that ever is this. That the Old Testament has all been fulfilled. No, it hasn't. That the law has been done away. That's insanity. Try doing away with the law of gravity and see what happens to everything on this earth. Poof! That shows you the insanity of fake Christianity. Are you part of fake Christianity? Do you want to come out of fake Christianity? Do you want to be part of the wise? Notice, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do His commandments. Do you do that? Now that agrees with the New Testament. Because, see, this becomes very important in understanding prophecy. A lot of people want to understand prophecy. The wise shall understand. The wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. Why? Because they don't love God and keep His commandments. 1 John 2, beginning in verse 3. By this standard, we know that we know Him if, conditional, if we keep His commandments. That's not hard to understand, is it? Okay? Remember, a good understanding of all they who keep His commandments. Remember, the wise shall understand, but the wicked shall not understand. Now let's read verse 4. The one who says, I know Him, and does not keep His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. I want you to think about that, because we're going to cover some prophecies, end-time prophecies, in one of the coming segments. And we are going to see that these were designed in such a way that today, it's almost like the television description of what's going on in the world, that's how real the Word of God is. Verse 5, could this be you? You can repent. You need our book. Lord, what should I do? You need our book. From a speck of dust to a son of God. What are you doing with your life? What is it that you're accomplishing and doing? Notice what it says here, verse 5. On the other hand, if anyone is keeping his word, the whole word of God, like Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God shall he live. Truly in this one, the love of God is being perfected. By this means we know that we are in him. So this is how we understand the prophecy. It's not because we're smart, it's because God reveals. And God gives understanding to those who love Him and keep His commandments. The wise shall understand. Will you be part of the wise, or will you continue in the way that you have been living? So once again, this is Fred Colder saying, thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, so long, everyone.